All right. Now you can open up your Bibles to Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Now, this morning's title of the message is Get a Hold on Your Thoughts. Get a hold on your thoughts. Okay? See, God is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, and He's everywhere present. So, I just got to look to Shirley. She gives me a thumbs up. We're ready to go. We on some? Okay. All right. Psalm 139. Lord, You have examined me and know all about me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You know my thoughts before I think them. Selah on that for a moment, huh? You know where I go and where I lie down. You know everything I do. Lord, even before I say a word, You already know it. He knows what You're going to say before You say it. That's why you need to flip over to Psalm 141 there, and we look at verse 3, and we're coming back there, and it says right there, Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Right? Keep watch over the door of my lips. You know? He knows what you're going to say. Lord, help me to shut this mouth. Oh boy. Not to say those things I don't need to say. Hallelujah. All right, back to 139 here. Verse 5. Okay. You are all around me, in front and in back, and have put Your hand on me. God knows everything about us. He even knows our thoughts. You know how much He knows about us, Brother Dean? I'm going to tell you. If you look over all the way over here into Matthew, okay? And if you look to Matthew chapter 10, this is how detailed that God is with us, all right? Now, if you're there, I want you to look. This is chapter 10, verse 30, okay? Just so you know, I'm not making this up. God even knows how many hairs are on your head. Detailed. And don't say there isn't none. You just shaved them down. So does Tim. Yeah. So does your dad. You got hair, you just like to take the easy way out and not make that long comb over, you know? I mean, I did. You know, that was my Uncle Bill. The wind would blow, would go, you know? Hallelujah. But the point is, He knows everything about you. He knows every detail there is about you. God knows everything about us, and yet He still accepts and loves us. God is with us through every situation, in every trial, protecting, loving, guiding each and every one of us. He knows and loves us completely. Because God is love. So what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Verse 6. Your knowledge is amazing to me. It is more than I can understand. Where can I go to get away from Your Spirit? Where can I run from You? Nowhere. Nowhere. He's omnipresent.
Yes, He is.
He's everywhere, all the time, at the same time. How is that possible? He's God. Verse 8. If I go up to the heavens, You are there. If I lie down in the grave, You are there. If I rise with the sun in the east and settle in the west beyond the sea, even there you would guide me. He will guide you no matter where you are. With your right hand, you hold me. He himself has said, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. He's not going to relax the hold he has on you. This says, assuredly not. Hebrews 13:5, by the way, amplified classic. Verse 11. I could say, the darkness will hide me, that the light around me turn into night. But even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as light as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's body. I praise you. Right there. I praise you, he says. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. Have you praised him lately? Think about that. He made you. He made you. What you have done is wonderful. I know this very well. You saw my bones being formed as I took shape in my mother's body. When I was put together there, you saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old. God's very character goes into the creation of every person. So listen, when you feel worthless and even begin to hate yourselves, remember that God's Spirit is ready and willing to work within you. So we should have as much respect for ourselves as our Creator has for us. I think you need to think on that one for a second. Verse 17. God, your thoughts are precious to me. They are so many. His thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11. I know what you're going with, but the New King James, you know what it says there? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. When you look it up in the Hebrew, you'll know that the word means plan, purpose, and thoughts. Okay? So you don't think that there's, you know, just because the NIV uses plans, sometimes needs clarity. But today we're dealing with the thoughts and what he thinks about us. And he gives has his thoughts for us are for peace, not for evil. So if something evil is going on, you know it's not from God. Because he's promised you a future and he's promised you a hope. Hope. Confident expectations of success. Verse 18. If I could count them, they would be more than all the grains of sand. When I wake up, I'm still with you. Good morning, Jesus. When you wake up in the morning, is that what first thing comes out of your mouth? Good morning, Jesus. Oh, for this is the day that you have made, Lord, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I have this little thing on my nightstand so that when I, because I sleep on my right side, when I open my eyes and I look, I see that, and Shirley made it for me. And I've had that, surely, to this day. I don't move it right there. First thing I want to say, says, good morning, Jack. I love you, Jesus. That's how you start your day, knowing the love of God. So, yeah, good morning, Jesus. I'm still with you.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to let go of you. He's got a hold on you. You understand? He's not going anywhere. He's not going to forsake you nor leave you. Drop down to verse 23, and it says, God, examine me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Know my anxious thoughts. How many of you this morning have anxious thoughts going on in your head? I know I'm not alone. Well, what's Philippians 4:6 say? Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. Where have your thoughts been leading you lately, though? With so much happening right now, it's hard not to be anxious and to have anxious thoughts. But what's the word say? Don't be anxious. All we have been hearing about is the midterm elections lately. You notice how everything else is gone? You don't hear anything about it? What's the latest in Ukraine? What's going on with Putin? Come on, I can name all. But what do we hear? We have not heard about any of that. It's like they all went away. Inflation's gone. Yeah. And the only people who talk about inflation are the conservatives. You know that. Ha, wonder why the left doesn't want to talk about inflation. Yeah. They said it's a word that only economists use and, you know, the conservatives use, inflation. We invented the word inflation. Yeah. Praise God. See, it's the narrative they're trying to control. They're trying to get into your thoughts, people. Okay? But anyhow, you know, you go home, you open up your mailbox, it's stuffed full of advertisements for candidates. Just tell me what you do and where you stand. Don't bash each other.
That's right.
That's not going to get it for me. But we look at all those, and we got to review them. So we need to seek out the truth on those we want in office to represent us, to be our voice. They are our voice. So I'm going to just tell you, you've got to do your research on each one. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I know in my heart who I'm going to vote for. I know because I've done my own research. But most importantly, pray for God's wisdom.
That's right.
Pray for God's wisdom and insight. Then vote. And then continue to pray for the integrity of our election system. Well, my main thing is I'm going to tell you this morning, and you tell your friends, get out and vote. Get out and vote. Everybody needs to go out and vote. Enough people go out and vote, they can't manipulate the vote. Everybody needs to go vote. Enough with that. But listen, in Isaiah 58:11, it simply says, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength, which means your health, your body, your bones. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. And they just flow. There's so much life in that. But the Lord will guide you. Follow His guiding. Listen carefully to the Holy Spirit. See, sometimes you got to get quiet and listen to the Holy Spirit. But thoughts. No one realizes how many thoughts pass through their minds. Studies have shown in varying degrees the number of our daily thoughts. Our brain determines every aspect of our life, and without our brain, there is no self and no awareness of the world. Our brain is a 3-pound universe that processes, are you ready for this? 70,000 thoughts each day using 100 billion neurons that connect at more than 500 trillion points through synapses. And I practiced that, so that's right. You can check me out. That those thoughts travel through your body at 300 miles an hour. There's a lot going on when you're thinking. Why do you think you're so worn out sometime with a thought problem when your thoughts keep going? Whew, Jesus, hallelujah. Okay, the signals that travel through those interconnected neurons, which are the messengers, form the basis of memories, thoughts, and feelings. Throughout our life, our experiences create patterns of activity that explain how our brains code our thoughts, memories, skills, and sense of self. The brain generates thoughts, drives emotions, and stores memories. Our brains work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is literally a workhouse going on up there. It's resilient. Its neuroplasticity allows it to adapt and respond to changes. And yeah, you got to go look up all these words too, what they mean. Then it really gets in depth for you. Our brains actually generate enough electricity to light a light bulb. So when you think that up there with a joke, no. It can light a light bulb. Hallelujah. From the moment we wake up until we close our eyes to sleep, and sometimes long after that, if you're like me, it's just the mind just doesn't quit. We're generally thinking about something, okay? Oftentimes, it is whether it's whatever we have been dealing with, and that is what directs our thoughts. If family, if it's a job, you know, and you think a healthy, those things, then that's what's driving those thoughts. Driving those thoughts. Proverbs 23, verse 7, surely. Hey, she told me it works for her, so if it works for her, it's got to work for all of us. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. I like that. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, the Passion Translation brings a little bit more to that. And the Passion Translation says, if anyone thinks of himself as a know-it-all, he still has a lot to learn. See, God is the only one who knows it all. He is. You can look at him and say, you're a know-it-all. And he'll say, yep. Yep. And I know everything about you, he says. Ooh. Yeah. Okay. We won't go there, will we? No. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. But my point here is we are to, you know, not to think more highly than we ought to. See, there's a warning that goes with it. And that warning is in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Wow, that was pretty cool. Went right there. I'm getting good. I can keep up with Joey and his electronics. Verse 18. Pride is the first step towards destruction. Proud thoughts will lead you to defeat. The enemy loves to constantly bombard our mind with thoughts, negative thoughts. You're a failure. You're never going to amount to much. You're never going to have enough. To fulfill your destiny, you must have a firm grip on your thought life. We are faced with a choice. Yes, a choice that each and everyone has to make. Either you can listen to Satan's lies, or we can listen to God's word. Choose you this day. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13. Real simple. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The power we receive in the union with Christ Jesus is sufficient to do His will for our lives and face challenges that arise from our commitment to do them. See, it's going to take faith. And as we contend for the faith, we are going to face troubles, pressures, trials, and thoughts. Lots of thoughts. So, you know, let's amplify that a little bit, okay? I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Yeah. Makes a little difference when you amplify just a little bit. Yeah. After I asked Jesus, like, into my heart, see, I was taught to get scriptures. Scriptures to stand on for a foundation for my new found relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture that I grabbed a hold of early on is Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And these are verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Jack. And lean not on your own understanding, son. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path, Jack. Wow. See, when I got saved, I didn't have a Bible. I took my wife's Bible. Not just because she had a whole bunch of Bible, but the one I picked, I saw, it was the Amplified Classic. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was my go-to Bible when I started. Okay. But I had to move on from there. I was locked into that for a long time. And I still love the Amplified Classic. So this is what I used to read. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Now, you know, those were the founding ones, but then this is the next one that I grabbed a hold of, this set, this one right here. And I hope you like it. Luke 10, verse 19. Says, "Behold, I have given you authority to trample on the serpents and the scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." I said, wow. But now when you amplify that, "Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall in any way harm you.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
But see, it went back to my first one. So it said, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord. But to lean on. You think about that for a second. Lean on. Leaning has a sense of putting your whole weight on something. Resting on and trusting in that person or thing. When we have an important decision to make, we sometimes feel that we can't trust anyone, not even God. You're going to say you haven't been there? Because I'm going to get back.
You're right.
You know? No. We've had things we didn't even go to God with.
Yes,
we wouldn't share with nobody else. We didn't even go to God with.
That's right,
Pastor. And then we sit there and we took the thoughts on and took the thoughts on and took the thoughts on.
Yes,
and then eight tums. Is that all the stomach and acid going on? Oh, praise God. Yeah. I used to buy them by that big of a container. Thank God I got saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But see, God knows what is best for us. So when we have those important decisions to make, we sometimes feel that we can't trust Him. But again, see, He knows best. He wants to hear from us, to ask for His wisdom in making choices. No matter how trivial it may seem to you, it is not trivial to Him. He wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives. Every aspect. So isn't that great to know? Yeah. And when He is, He will make our paths straight and smooth and plain. Do you ever notice some of them roads you get on, all the bumps, and all of a sudden they come in and they pave it, and how smooth it is? That's what God will do for you in your life. When you trust in Him with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul. As I prayed, though, and asked God to guide and direct my life. See, He would give me assignments I knew I didn't have the ability to do. And as I looked back, this was evident even while I was in LTV still. All I can tell you is I am amazed at all of it that happened. And why do I bring that up? Because when I would ask, He'd give me an assignment. It was hard to fulfill that assignment in ministry because I had that. But He always seemed to work the mill out to where I could be in church to serve Him in the capacity He called me to serve through each level. He knew the desire of my heart. I wanted to serve Him. So when I look back at it, I went, wow. I mean, I did not want the steady daylight job. But He made sure that I was told, nobody else wanted it, you're the youngest, you get it. Management, you know, is like a whole different world than the union, Eddie, I'm telling you. And you know what I'm talking about. You've dealt on both ends with both people. Yeah, so, but He would always make a way. And I thought, but working that, then I was able to get to the next and promoted to the next level and then to the next level. And then I was told I had to work Sundays. And I said, how's that going to work out, Lord? I want to be at the house, you know. I now have been promoted to this level, and, you know, I'm doing what you call me to do, and I'm studying, and guess what? They told me, they says, yeah, you come in, you line up all that's going to happen in production, all that's going to happen in maintenance. And then you take the company vehicle, and you drive from Pittsburgh back here, park outside here, go in that back bathroom, put my suit and my tie on, and come out here and do my thing. Hallelujah. Do what He called me to do. I was able to fulfill that. because he knew the desires of my heart. And I didn't have to pay for the gas and mileage. No. LTV, they said, yeah, that's not a problem. But when you're done, come on back home. And that's what I did. I did that. But God, I'm going to say, when you go to God and you're looking for ways, and you say, use me, Lord, he won't make a way for you to be used. And if your desire is to be here in his house and not to miss a service, he knows the desire of your heart. Am I right, Brother Dean? Every time the Dean used to call, say, hey, I don't know if I'm going to make it in. He says, you know, they got me scheduled to go here and here. But, you know, like I said, God knows my heart. And guess what? We come up here to start service or practice. Here's Dean. He'd just go, devil, you ain't going to keep me out of the house. Don't you understand? And he wasn't going to keep me out of the house. And he won't keep you out of the house either if you want to be here. He will make a way. He will make a way. Hallelujah. Man, I got going in all kind of different directions, didn't I? But see, you got to remember, he is Yod-Heh-Veh-Heh. Okay? Which, that's his name, which means too much to contain and too much to comprehend. He always worked it out. I never knew. I didn't even go ahead. I just went along with the program. And when he called me to be the pastor, I said, oh, wait a minute, Lord. I better sit down for this one. And I said, you know, Lord, I'm not equipped. He says, I ain't calling you. He says, listen, I will equip you, son. You just do what I tell you to do. And I said, okay, Lord. And when I got that in my heart, I said, okay. And so here I am today. He put the call on my heart. I didn't go looking for it. I don't do that. I'm not trying to brag or say anything. I'm just telling you. You got to put up with me. Until God says, hey, I got a replacement for you. But, you know, till then, you got me. But, you know, though, through all those different situations I went through, Satan would always harass me with thoughts. I'm telling you, the thoughts come, and they still come. They still come. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're saying. You've done, you know, and it just keeps going. So it's these thoughts that I deal with. And sometimes they're pretty heavy. So I got to sit down, and thank God that sometimes I got to go to the advisory board and say, you know, guys, this is, because I'm tired of, I can't take the thoughts. I can't carry this on my own. I can't do this on my own. That's what God has taught me. God has told me it takes you, the family. Those in Eloquipa Christian Assembly. That's what makes all this possible. I'm right now the head, okay? But you are the hands, the feet, the mouth. People see your light. They see what we teach here, what comes from the pulpit, is what you take to the community, what you take to the workplace. People look at you, they see the light in you, they reflect on what you have. And when you do, you'll have an opportunity to minister to them, to get them born again, spirit-filled, and on fire, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So that's what we're here all for. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right. So he would say things to me that, like, you do not have the talent or ability to carry out that assignment. Okay, so you've been there? So it's amazing how loud his voice it starts to come when we get those in our head. That his voice gets louder and louder. See, and when we're in prayer, he speaks negative thoughts into our minds while we're trying to pray. Even when you're in heavy intercession for someone, praying in the Spirit to the Lord, he doesn't quit. No. He doesn't quit. Just recently, I was praying so hard, and I was praying in the Spirit, and I was praying and praying and praying for this individual. Praying, praying, praying for the test that they're going through. praying hard, and the thoughts kept coming. Thoughts kept coming. Oh, you know, what are you wasting? You're wasting your time. And I just started praying in the Spirit, but the other voice was still there. So I started getting louder, you see, and the voice kept going. And I sit down and I said, well, you know, and I'm praying, and then all of a sudden I would get the glimpse of, like, you know, that's what you're here for. I called you to pray. Your prayers are important. And I'm like, okay. And he said, and then I would hear the scripture, you know, Jesus went about healing all. And I said, okay, so what's that? I'm thinking, my mind, I'm praying, and all of a sudden it says, that person is an all. Do you understand? So you got to keep praying, and you got to keep praying, because the devil is going to keep throwing up thoughts at you that you're not accomplishing what you were called to do when you're praying. He wants to distract you. He wants to implant thoughts into your head. You have been called. He's got a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. Some of you know it. Some of you are in it. Some of you are doubting. Oh, it's time for me to step down. It's time for me to move on. Who says that? Did God tell you that? God will give you the strength and the ability and the health. He will equip you. Don't let the devil steal from you. The more we listen to his lies and deception, the more he will build strongholds in our mind. In fact, his voice can become so loud, it can be hard to hear God's voice. We must remember that we are in a battle, and the battle is in the battleground, which is the mind, where our enemy attacks us most. He can do more damage to a believer through the mind than he could ever do in any other area of our lives, because it is the mind where our actions and reactions are born. It's a spiritual thing. You hear me? It's a spiritual thing. 2 Corinthians, surely. We're moving. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Chapter 10. Verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I was going to read verse 6, but I think we'll leave verse 6 alone. We'll just stop right there. But I like that. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Our battlefield is in our mind. Satan knows this all too well. That is why he plants negative thoughts in our head constantly. If he controls your thoughts, he controls your life. Our weapons in the spiritual battlefield of the mind are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of those strongholds. In Romans 12, I should have had you held your place there, huh? Romans 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Now, think about that. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I'm glad we do have two Timothys here. We got 1 and 2 Timothy. Okay, we got them both here. Praise God. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Right? Chapter 2. Do I got the right one? Chapter 2. Yeah, verse 15. Okay. All right. Down there, that little mark I had there was, I don't know what that's from. Must have been a scribble mark. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Here's the key. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Our weapons in the spiritual battle are not carnal, but mighty through God. As we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, we engage the battle against pretense and arrogant philosophies in the world. Trust Christ, and rightly dividing the word of God will take every thought captive, pull down the strongholds, and by grace set the captives free. Now, I realize that at times, to combat Satan's thoughts, I've needed, like I said, to scream the promises of God so that my ears would hear them. I had to get louder than he was with the promises of God, because that will drown out his voice. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, how did he resist those temptations that were spoken to him? Yeah. By quoting the word. That's right. And Jesus responded, "It is written." It is written. And that's why we got to be louder than the devil. When those thoughts keep coming and they keep coming, you just start, "This is the promise of God for me. I have the mind of Christ. I won't forget anything. I will remember where I put everything." And then you just start praising God and singing your praises. And guess what? All of a sudden, you find your book. There it is, right there where you put it in the first place. You know. I've done that. I've done the same thing. Where did I put that out? Where did I lay that thing down at? I don't know. But Lord God, you said that I have the mind of Christ. I'm not going to forget these kind of things. You show me right where that's at. And I just start going on with what I'm doing. I'm praising, thanking God. And that walk over. Oh, there's my keys. Ah, there it is. You know. It works, folks. It works. And if you don't put any doubt into the mix as you're waiting for this to happen, in that doubt, you might find your wallet a week or so earlier than you do. I didn't mention your name, Charles. I ain't saying a word, brother. I ain't saying a word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, ask Charles the story sometime. It's interesting. But I'll tell you one thing about Charles. When he tells you a story, and you'll say, "Boy, I heard that story before." You listen to his stories. You know they're true. He doesn't change the story. Every one he tells is the same detail because he lived it, he experienced it. Yeah. Some of his stories are pretty interesting, to say the least. That's right. But you know, Kenneth Hagin, you all know Kenneth Hagin. And he would always say this, always stay on the positive.
Yeah.
Always stay on the positive. Because you all do realize that Satan's the one who brings all the negative thoughts. God's thoughts are always positive for us. Always. That's why Kenneth Hagin said, always stay on the positive. Agree with God's word. That helps right there. John 10:10, in the Amplified Classic Edition, says the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, "I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows." Till it overflows. See, I'm choosing to live in the overflow.
Yeah, I'm choosing to live in the overflow.
How about you?
Yeah.
Okay, then let's say this together. I choose to live in his overflow.
I choose to live in his overflow.
I am no longer bound.
I am set free.
And everywhere I go, I see the victory. Yeah, hallelujah. Woo! Man, I'll tell you what, them devil, they might have been close around this building, but they even driven far out from this building now. Hallelujah. So don't pick them up when you're hitchhiking on the way home. Okay? Just leave them standing on the side of the road there. Hallelujah. When you see them, you just start roll up the window and start praising God. Hallelujah. But John, 1 John. 1 John, the little John. 1 John. And this is the favorite one. They quote this one all the time on Victory News. Okay. We're going to go to chapter 5. Verses 4 and 5. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Right there. That's where you see, when you put your faith in Jesus, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. You put your faith in him and you will also overcome the world. It will not overcome you. It doesn't stand a chance against Jesus. It already knows it had its butt whooped once. We live in this world, but we are not part of this world. Remember that, folks. But you remember the account of Moses sending out the 12 spies? You can turn there. That's Numbers 13. Numbers chapter 13. Okay, but he sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan. And that, remember, God had promised to give the children of Israel this land. But what? 10 spies returned with a negative report. They said the people of Canaan were stronger than the Israelites. Really? So, if you're there in 13... you look to verse 33. It says, there we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. In their own sight? And so were in their sight. And so we were in their sight. These men were spies. If you're a spy, you certainly don't let the enemy know who you are. So they had to have imagined that was how the giants viewed them. That is why the enemy, that's what the enemy does to your thoughts and your life. He brings imaginations that are not even reality. Because see, in the world we live in the news, in the information that we get through social media, the networks that put out the news, they control the narrative. They control what you start to think. They start to implant the thoughts into your head. They plant the thoughts in your head. Like, don't get out and vote. You don't have to worry about it. We know that they're going to win. Well, see, that's a ploy. That's a thought, making people think, oh, no, I shouldn't have to. It's late. I'm going to be there late or, you know, whatever. Don't make an excuse. Don't let them tell you you don't need to vote. You need to vote. But see, that's what they do. They want to control what goes in your mind, where you start, where your process starts thinking. And yeah, it's there. It's planted. So that's why I encourage you, turn the TV off. Turn it off. Mine comes on for the Victory Channel. That's it. Is it a boring life? No, I have an exciting life. I know I do. I love what I get to watch and see. I know what gets put into my spirit, man. Because I know the battles that are ahead for me. Because, see, being the pastor, I do not need to be distracted from praying for each and every one of you.
Thank you, sir.
You know, when I'm in the office studying, and on my Saturdays, come here, because it's like there's nothing. And I can study, and then I pick it, get out our prayer list, and I start praying. And I pray over the family. And God will, you know, bring something specific once I hit a certain name. And I go, okay, then I know. But see, if I'm distracted by what's happening in the world, if I really concentrate too much on that, it'll take away from that. And to me, that would be bringing you an injustice. And I think that God doesn't want me to do that. God will give me enough of the information that I need to keep up with what's happening present day. I don't have to get in and dig all these details up and then hear all their opinions. Just give us the facts. Because you give us all the facts you want, but see, we have the truth. We have the truth. We have the truth. So they had went in there, and by that report affected a whole nation. But see, two spies. Two. We hear a lot about two, right? Where two or more are gathered together when two agree in prayer. Okay, yeah, two can be important. Can you imagine what it's like when you're in a full assembly? Woo-hoo! I'm telling you, the glory of God will fall. People will be getting up out of wheelchairs, out of carts. They'll be sitting there running, walking. You know, no more just having a hobble. Run. Praise God. So you're there in Numbers. Go to 14. Teddy's giving me a sign, and I don't know if I can get all. And 14, verses 7 through 9. They said to all the people of Israel, Joshua and Caleb, "The land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us safely into the land and give it to us." If He's pleased with us, yeah, He's pleased. Look at all the miracles He's done to this point. "It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection." Charles, I pray you keep praying. No protection, no protection, no protection. "But the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them." Joshua and Caleb encouraged the people to act on God's promises and move ahead into the land. The people, being peoples, rejected their advice and even talked about killing them. Don't be too quick to reject advice you don't like. Evaluate it carefully, comparing it to the teaching in God's Word. The advice may be God's message. We need to continually think God thoughts. Continually thinking God's thoughts. Philippians 4:8. "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." What we put into our mind creates thoughts that will determine what comes out in our words and actions. International Children's Bible. Why do I use children's Bibles? Because they seem to be so effective in bringing out the reality of the situation. But in Proverbs 18:20-21, what you say affects how you live. You will be rewarded by how you speak. What you say can mean life or death. Those who love to talk will be rewarded for what they say, whether good or bad. Paul tells us to program our minds with thoughts that are pure, true, noble, right, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. We need to examine what we are putting into our mind through via the television, through books, through social media, conversations, movies, magazines, etc. We need to replace harmful input with wholesome material. Above all, read God's Word and pray and ask God to help you focus your mind on what is good and what is pure. See, if you... It is your choice. It is your choice. And it will take practice. And it can be done. You can accomplish it. So let us decree this. We decree every thought is captive to the rule of Jesus Christ. We say all thoughts of impurity, godlessness, fear, unbelief must dissipate. We say unhappy and undesirable imaginations must leave our mind and be replaced with that which is pure, lovely, life-giving, and filled with peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Hallelujah.